Hi, everyone, and welcome to Eagles Live here at the NovaCare Complex. I'm Dave Spadaro, and we welcome you in on our busy, busy Wednesday as the Eagles reach that hump day in the week. And normally at this time, we can tell you who the starting quarterback will be. At this point, we cannot tell you that. Chip Kelly this morning mentioning at his media briefing that, well, we'll let Chip say that a little bit later on, but it's day-to-day for Michael Vick, Nick Foles taking the reps, and we take a look at practice from this morning. Michael Vick in his football pants, out at practice, loosening up. The media allowed out for the warm-up period and the individual drills, and Vick participated in all of those drills. Now, yesterday, of course, after practice, he said he was healing quickly, said he felt fine, was actually a bit surprised that he was out there and feeling so good. So let's see how this thing progresses through the week. And again, likely to not know until later in the week if number 7 or number 9 will be the quarterback against Tampa Bay on Sunday. We've got a great show for you today. We'll do a little cover two with some local beat writers. Of course, Chip Kelly for his exclusive one-on-one presented by Gatorade. And then DeMeco Ryans, Eagles linebacker and running back LeSean McCoy, hold their press conferences, and we'll have that for you live at the tail end right here on Eagles Live. First things first, let's get you caught up on today's headlines.
Good afternoon, Dave, and we'll start off the headlines with Chip Kelly announcing that Michael Vick is still day-to-day. The quarterback took part in individual drills in Tuesday's practice. He was back on the field Wednesday. We will get an official injury report later on this afternoon. DeSean Jackson, coming off his amazing performance in the win over the New York Giants, was named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week for the third time in his career. Jackson had 7 catches for 132 yards and a touchdown in the 36-21 win over New York. Michael Vick was encouraged by his performance yesterday on the practice field. Nick Foles, meanwhile, is still treating it like he's going to prepare as if he's a starter, the same mindset that he's taken each and every single week, which is why he was able to step in and be so productive in the win over the Giants, throwing 2 touchdown passes. Little roster note here, Marcus Burley was signed. He was with Jacksonville in the preseason. He's a rookie out of Delaware, cornerback, so he's added to the practice squad to fill it out. Trent Robinson was released yesterday. And coming up in just a little bit, Chip Kelly, the weekly one-on-one interview presented by Gatorade. That's your Wednesday afternoon headlines. Let's send it back for more with Dave Spadaro.
Thank you very much, Chris. Congratulations to DeSean Jackson. Terrific job against the New York Giants. The assignment certainly does not get any easier with Darrelle Revis and a really strong Tampa Bay secondary. They're going to be all over number 10. Let's see how the Eagles counter that on Sunday. When we return, Chip Kelly in the studio, an exclusive one-on-one. We're coming right back.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
SEPTA is the way to get to games.
I love taking the subway down there because I feel like I'm, you know, with all fans.
Everybody's got their gear on.
People are chanting and cheering on the train before you even get to the station.
There's a sense of camaraderie because Philly loves their sports teams.
It's really fun. It's Philadelphia.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties. The stories.
I'm going to miss your smell.
You were my first.
What? I knew it.
It's true.
Oh, man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
Together, we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified, authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
Oh!
dude is huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me.
You're home for the most live sports. Xfinity.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
When I was a little kid, I thought riding SEPTA was just the coolest thing. I thought, I'm on this big piece of metal blazing down these tracks. There's people ringing bells above me. There's honking going on. There's trees flying by. It's fantastic.
We welcome you into the studio, Dave Spadaro, with head coach Chip Kelly. Our one-on-one presented by Gatorade Coach, a great win against the New York Giants. I'd like to start there if we could. You know, let's talk about one of your assistant coaches. We hear from Pat and we hear from Bill. Bill Lazor has a chance to work with all three of these quarterbacks, and his job is to not only get the starter ready, but to keep everyone sharp. And must be just great to see Nick goes into the game, comes right out throwing the football, and you can look back and say, hey, Bill Lazor, great job working with this kid.
Yeah, Billy's done a great job since he got here. Great technician. Really works with the fundamentals with Mike and Nick and Matt. Very, very, very smart. And has a plan for all those guys in terms of how he prepares those guys. Because it is difficult to get the number two and the number three guy ready. But I think he spends an inordinate amount of time with those guys, you know, during special teams periods and whatnot, are really drilling Nick and Matt so that if the situation does come up that those guys are prepared to play. And I think, you know, Billy gets a lot of credit of it. And I also think Nick and Matt, if we ever had to go to Matt, you know, they understand that. And we talk about it all the time that they're a chin strap away from playing. And, you know, I think Nick's prepared that way. And obviously it showed on Sunday.
Is it as much mental preparation, I guess, as it is physical? Because they aren't able to take reps with the ones during practice that much.
They do take reps with the ones because of how we do practice, but they don't obviously don't get the predominant amount of reps. The predominant amount of reps go to the number ones guys. So there's a lot that goes into it, you know, from the mental standpoint. And then also trying to simulate a lot of things, you know, in different periods that aren't team-oriented, you know, and a lot of that work is done during special teams and trying to make sure that they can make all those throws. So it is difficult to make sure your twos and threes are ready. You hope you don't have to go to a two or a three. But if you do, you know, a lot of it's on the player, too, in terms of how they prepare. You know, what is their mindset? Do they really truly believe that they are one play away from going in the game? And I think Nick knew that since the day, you know, we made a decision on who the starting quarterback is going to be. We talked to Nick about that. You know, and in this league, I think you have to have two quarterbacks to be successful.
Chip, what do you think it meant to your young team? You're on the road, division game, you know, desperate team on the other side of the field, and you're trailing all of a sudden in the third quarter, yet you turn it around and score the last 17 points of the game. That's got to mean something for you building this program.
I just think, you know, it shows a lot about how our players understand that in this game that it's, you know, it's going to take a full 60 minutes. You know, you're not going to – very rarely do teams run away with it. You know, you always have an opportunity if you just stay consistent and believe in the game plan. And I think our guys did on both sides of the ball. And I thought our defense played really, really well in the fourth quarter, and our offense thrived off of that.
Last week we talked about some of the numbers that you value, some of the statistics you value. You mentioned response after turnovers. Then you go out and get 17 points after turnovers. You've been hammering it home. Must be very gratifying to go out and do it.
Yeah, we practice that. You know, I think as I tell our team all the time, you know, it's not just the turnover battle. You know, if our defense goes out there and makes a great play, we need to build upon that. You know, so if they go out there and cause a fumble or intercept the ball and then we go out and go three plays and punt, we really didn't do anything with what they gave us. So, you know, we had the interception and then the first play out, we scored a touchdown from Nick to Brent. And then the same thing happened, you know, on the next interception. I think that's extremely important because you have to capitalize when the situation presents itself. And I thought, you know, that's great team football. Our defense doing what they're supposed to do. They create turnovers, and then our offense taking those turnovers and turning them into points.
Let's talk about that touchdown pass to Celek. You go right to the end zone. Field call, or are you a guy who likes to go to the end zone?
No, it's just something we worked on this week and felt like it was just the appropriate time to call it. So it's not – you know, a set thing that, hey, when you get the ball after a turnover, you're going to go for the end zone. It's just we felt at that point in time it just kind of fit in terms of what we were doing.
Both Bradley Fletcher and Kerry Williams, good games last week, challenged down the field a lot. Now you've got two big receivers in Tampa Bay. How's that matchup look to you with your big cornerbacks and their big wide receivers?
Yeah, I think it's each week it doesn't get any easier. You know, I think there's so much talent throughout this league is that you face two really good ones in Cruz and Nix, and now you come back with Jackson and Williams. And, you know, I think Fletch, you're watching him kind of show up on a consistent basis, which is what we thought we were going to get out of Bradley. But, you know, until they get challenged, you really don't know what you're going to get. But I think one of the we wanted to get bigger at corner. We wanted to get taller. We wanted to get longer. And I think because of matchups like this, you know, there's a lot of big physical receivers, not only within our division, but in other teams that we have to play. So, you know, excited about seeing that matchup this week.
How's Kerry played? I mean, obviously comes over big-time free agent, good season last year. How's he done?
Kerry's done a nice job. You know, he's ultra competitive. He's you know, works it extremely hard during the week in practice in terms of preparing for the game. You know, he's a professional in terms of how he approaches things, and he ups the game, you know, in one-on-ones and three-on-twos and seven-on-seven situations because he is so competitive. So I think some of our guys are thriving off of him.
Coach, we've talked here. Obviously Nick Foles has one set of skills, and Michael Vick's appear to be quite a bit different athletically in some ways. And Eagles fans look at it and say, boy, how could the offense not be a bit different with one or the other on the field? Can you kind of explain just in layman's terms for the uninitiated, how does that work? How can the offense continue to function, play calls the same, whether it's Nick or whether it's Michael? If you kind of understand what I'm saying, the fans look around, they see Michael running the football and being very athletic.
But Michael doesn't run many design runs. You know, I think some of Michael's runs just occur out of drop back game. So, you know, it's one of Michael's advantages is if you're going to play man coverage and cover everybody very, very closely, then no one's responsible for the quarterback. And again, he hurt the Giants with that extremely well on Sunday. You know, we had a 3rd and 19, I think it was, and Mike took off for about 35 yards and got a first down. But in terms of the play calls, that's not different. You know, very rarely, I think we maybe had two design runs for Mike or three design runs for Mike previous to him going out. So I don't see that as being a big factor in terms of our play calling.
Michael Vick, hamstring injury, obviously people talking about it. How do you monitor this thing the rest of the way of the week?
You know, we got a great training staff and a great bunch of doctors that will, you know, kind of keep us in the loop. And we always defer to in any injury situation. That's always the doctors and the trainers. They tell us when a player is healthy enough to return back to action. So the one thing about Mike is you never question his work ethic. He was here every single day in the offseason. He was probably the number one guy in terms of our strength coach is talking about putting the time in off the field, and he's doing the same thing from a rehab standpoint.
Chip, 5 games in, how do you look at the offense? How's it performed? I mean, the press conferences, there's a lot of questions about this and that, and I look at it, 8th in the league in scoring points. I know that's not exactly where you want it to be. Moving the football up and down the field, I see a lot of great things. How about the way you look at the offense?
I think we're pleased, but we're not satisfied. We need to do a better job of converting in the red zone. You know, there's still little things. We're still very young on the offensive side of the ball. We've obviously had, you know, a ton of production from a yard standpoint. I think we lead the NFC in yardage. We're 2nd overall with the Broncos. You know, we're moving the football up and down the field, but we got to come away with 7s instead of 3s in the red zone.
How's Tampa Bay look to you?
It's a good football team. You know, their record does not indicate them. They lost by a point to the Jets, who obviously are a pretty good football team after watching them beat Atlanta on Monday night. They lost by 2 to the New Orleans Saints, who are undefeated. You know, they've played a lot of really, really close games. Lost to the Cardinals by a field goal. And then the other losses to the Patriots. So, you know, every team they've played has had a winning record. They're in every single game. You know, it's just for them, it's a matter of, I would say it's the same thing as us. It's about finishing games. And I think they've got talent, you know, both offensively and defensively. They got an outstanding offensive line. They got a really solid defensive line in Gerald McCoy. They've got linebackers. They got Revis in the secondary, who's a new addition for them. They can run the ball with Doug Martin. We've already mentioned their 2 receivers. So another really, really good team that we're facing this week.
Good luck on Sunday, Chip Kelly. We thank you very much for joining us here. Exclusive one-on-one presented by Gatorade on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And action.
That's a wrap!
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Each one of us is our own boss. And no matter where you are in life, ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
And we welcome you back. Dave Spadaro here, Eagles Live, the name of the show. Let's take a look at the Eagles' upcoming schedule, which, of course, as it is every day, is presented by NFL Ticket Exchange, powered by Ticketmaster. For the only 100% verified way to buy or sell NFL tickets, visit NFL.com/Ticket Exchange. Sunday, a big game at Tampa against the Bucs, and then it's home for two games in the NFC East before a long trip out west to Oakland and the Raiders. Four games here, very critical for the Eagles as they position themselves, yeah, I'll say it, to make a playoff run in the NFC East. We take your phone calls, 215-339-6709, some predictions, talk a little Eagles, Tampa Bay. We've got a lot of show to get to. And it'll be the very end, kind of saving the, well, not the best for the end, but, you know, you guys want to hear from the players. And linebacker D'Amico Ryans and running back LeSean McCoy meeting the media. We'll have that coverage for you live here at the tail end of Eagles Live. And then we've got Chris McPherson sitting down with a couple of the beat reporters for our Cover 2 segment and our NovaCare rehabilitation tip of the day, injuries to the upper extremities. First things first, though, we want to go out to Montana and visit with safety Colt Anderson, a really great young guy, a hard-working player. He's obviously made a big mark here on special teams and at the safety position. Just a humble, family-oriented guy, as we find out here.
So it's 2 weeks away from training camp, and I'm up here in Montana still. I've spent most of my time up here. I enjoy coming back here and spending time with my family and friends. And right now I'm heading to work out with one of my former teammates, Steve Fahler. He opened up a gym, and you know, I enjoy working out with him, and I see results when I work out with him, so that's where we're going. All right, we're out of Steve's place. Beautiful day to get it working.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
How's things?
For sure, bro.
Colt, you'll be on that platform, okay?
Here's your card. There you go. In week 3, day 1.
All right. Hey, it's 225, right?
55 and 35, yeah.
You keep changing the weights on me, Steve.
Simple addition. Good. Keep the feet stationary. Get tall. There you go. Did you feel how you caught that one forward?
That's a little front.
And it wasn't that. It's just when you moved your feet, when you picked them up, you just popped them back. So the bar was in the right place, but you just moved your feet back.
I got you. Yeah.
All right, go ahead. You got two.
I like looking at other people's weights. Then I try to do more. It's a competition. Who can lift the most? I'm not that short. These guys play basketball. Toughest part of the workout here.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right.
The weight ain't getting any lighter.
All right, you got 30. Good job, Cole.
Yeah, hey, brother.
Good to see you.
You gonna be in all week?
I am. I'll be here till the middle of August.
Oh, really? All right. I'll see you at the. I'll be back like Thursday. All right. Well, today my mom and dad were preparing some meat on the grill tonight. We got some tri-tip and I think it's pork tenderloin. So we're gonna have all the family over. Enjoy some sunshine up here in Montana and play some lawn games. Is this the pork?
This is the pork tenderloins.
See, well, my mom cooks, and then my dad steps in and takes all the credit, so don't let him fool you.
Secret's out.
Oh, that's deep. In our off season, we always come back to Montana. My wife and I were born and raised here, and you know, so it's nice to bring our kids back to where we came from, and we enjoy this nights like this. You know, this is what you live for, is just have the kids run around and, you know, my brother's sisters and her sisters just playing together. It's the best in the world.
Show me your teeth.
Gage, give Crew a hug.
Oh, thank you. Are you gonna hold him?
Can you give him a kiss? Aw, good one. Tomorrow, my wife and I's family is we're gonna head up to Sealy Lake. It's a lake in the Mission Mountains, which is a great place. I mean, I can't even explain it. You know, they call Montana God's Country, and this is one place that really emulates that name. Finally here. Hey guys, welcome to the cabin. This is my wife's family's cabin. We enjoy coming up here every summer. Try to get up here a couple times and relax and play hunt cage. See the bubbles? Bubbles. It's beautiful. I'd say it's about 80 degrees, maybe 90 degrees outside. How's the water?
Good.
Yeah, it's good. This is our time to get away from football and really enjoy time with our family and friends and relax, so to speak. Oh, good one. This is the calm before the storm. Wow! You want to throw it? Skip it. Like that. Yeah. Not only is this break, you know, good physically, but mentally, the season was just draining. And right now, you know, we can take a step back and you know, just relax. And it's great to come up here and just listen to the birds, listen to the boats out on the lake, and spend quality time with my family. Give me 10. What about this hand? 10. What about this hand? Yeah, our summers right now is just about spending quality time with your family and your kids. And over the last 2 years, you know, our life's changed dramatically with the addition of our two boys. I couldn't imagine my life without my two boys, and you know, I'm lucky to have the wife I do, and you know, it's just, I couldn't ask for a better life right now.
How can you not root for a guy like Colt Anderson? Or inside the season schedule presented by Verizon Wireless, Friday at 1:05 a.m., Saturday at 7:30 p.m. on 6 ABC in Philadelphia. Make sure you tune in. And, of course, live on Philadelphia, on demand on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Let's get to the telephones, 215-339-6709. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Marcus. Marcus, welcome to the show.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, good. How you doing? Turn down your speaker, if you would, please.
Okay.
What's happening, Marcus?
What's going on, man?
Everything's good. How you doing?
I'm just living life, man.
I hear you. What do you got to talk about today?
Well, first thing I want to talk about, last week we did good, and you know, Michael Vick, if he could just stay healthy, he could bring a lot of talent to the team, and we can do a lot of great things. You know, I like Nick Foles. Nick Foles, he got a win for us. You know, he's a big quarterback, 6'6", 200 and something. He's got a good arm, you know. I like to see what he can do a couple of years from now once Vic goes. But, you know.
Well, it's interesting, Marcus. They have – I want to get your prediction here real quick. It's the Eagles feel pretty good about their quarterback situation, and rightly so. And I just think this week against Tampa Bay going to be a very difficult assignment. I think the Bucs have an outstanding defense. They've run to the ball very quickly, sound, physical. Whoever's playing quarterback, do not turn the football over. What's your prediction for Sunday, Marcus?
I think we can pull it out. All we got to do is go in and stick to the game plan.
I'm with you. So give me a score.
I say 27-17.
All right, Marcus. Thank you, man. Thank you very much for the phone call. As we take a look at the practice out on the NovaCare Complex practice field, just a little warm-up. Michael Vick in there. Patrick Chung also on the field. Eagles keeping their eye on both of those players throughout this week to see if they are healthy enough to go on Sunday against Tampa Bay. And obviously, we will keep you up to date on all of that. And we don't know yet. I think it's just too early to tell whether Vic or Foles will be the quarterback. Vic taking part yesterday in only the individual portion of practice. Nick Foles taking over 7-on-7 and team. We'll find out today, a little bit later on, how the practice unfolded. Let's go to New York and talk to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Mark, how are you?
Great, man. How are you?
I'm doing well this week. Doing well.
Thank you. Good. A win. For all the Eagles fans in New York, I know that your week has been made.
Yeah, it's good to see the Giants are. They remind me of the Eagles a couple of years ago. They're in the mood for some change.
Yeah, it looks like a team on the descent. That there's going to be some serious. Boy, Michael looks good out there. They look like a team on the descent, certainly, and perhaps ready to break things up a little bit.
Yeah, that's basically what I like to see for them.
Yeah, agreed.
I was actually calling. You know, I was very impressed with how the team kept it together versus the Giants. You know, when Vic went down. And then the Giants take the lead 21-19. I'm saying, oh, geez, here we go again. And then, you know, they get the quick field goal, and they kind of just, you know, kept it together with leadership and what Chip Kelly more or less brought to the table. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, Chris, as you know, a problem of recent years here. When things start to go bad, this team, in years past, unable to reverse that. And so I agree. In fact, that was the theme of my story on Sunday, how the Eagles finished for the first time. They finished off a game so well.
Yeah, I was just very happy. And to me, I mean, I think Chip Kelly just point blank outcoached the Giants, you know, him and Bill Davis, more or less.
I think so, too. Now, Look, I really liked what Bill did with the pressure. I obviously loved the turnovers, the takeaways, and the fact that the Eagles scored 17 points off of those takeaways. The difference in your ball game, Chris. Give me a score for the a prediction for the game.
Tough one. Tampa Bay is a tough team to read.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, I'm going to say the Eagles 28 and Tampa Bay 17.
I'll take it. Boy, 28 points, Chris. I think Tampa Bay's defense is better.
I agree. They're a tough team, and they got a really good secondary. But, you know, they're a team that they hate their coach. So,
well, you might have a point there.
Yeah, so I don't know what to do with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know.
Yeah, well, thanks for the call. What you want to make sure you don't do is give Tampa Bay any sort of momentum, any sort of positive feeling to get that crowd into it. Now, there's going to be a bunch of Eagles fans down there. We're going to be showing you those fans, but the best way to keep the fans for the Eagles up and the Buccaneers fans down, jump on Tampa Bay early and keep them down. When we return to Eagles Live, Chris McPherson, a little cover two segment with some of the Philadelphia Eagles beat reporters, Tim McManus from The Fanatic 97.5 and Jeff Mosher, CSNPhilly.com. How real are the 2-3 Eagles? We discuss on the other side.
And action.
That's a wrap.
What are you doing?
What?
These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
One more, let's get it, let's go.
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
Boss of your life, in charge of making memories and keeping promises. Ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Make sure to have the Eagles with you wherever you go by downloading our official Eagles app, which provides news, notes, features, and all of our live shows.
Hello, Eagles fans. I'm Chris McPherson, and welcome to our Cover 2 segment here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And we brought two of the best beat reporters here in the Philadelphia market to break down the Eagles' win over the Giants and look ahead to Sunday's matchup with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We welcome in Jeff Mosher from Comcast Sportsnet in Philadelphia and Tim McManus from the Birds 24/7 blog on PhillyMag.com. Jeff, you get to kick us off here. First and foremost, did the Eagles get their season back on track with this win over the Giants?
Well, certainly put them in position, Chris, I would say, to get back on track. You know, after a three-game losing streak, there's only two directions it could have gone. 1-4 would have been apocalyptic, and now you're looking at 2-3. Tampa Bay, another winless team coming up. You'll have the Giants again in a few weeks. So, yeah, they're better positioned to kind of get back and find themselves a little bit more.
Tim, looking at the quarterback situation, Nick Foles did a great job coming in late in the first half, got two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter. What did you think of his performance in running the offense?
I thought he did a great job coming in cold especially. You know, there were some timing patterns and anticipation throws that he was making that I thought for somebody that was getting just a few first-team snaps and for coming in the middle of the game without any preparation, you know, for him to be able to execute in that fashion, I thought was really impressive. I mean, you saw that the run game hurt when Vic went out and Foles went in. McCoy had 8 carries for minus 2 yards when Foles was in there, so that's a concern. But as far as the passing game, I thought he was very effective.
Jeff, let's look at the defensive side of the football. 4 turnovers in all, 3 interceptions in the fourth quarter. Did they turn the page here?
Yeah, I mean, yes, they did. Yes. They created turnovers, and that's what you need to have. Now, if we were going to really parse and go through all the turnovers, Brandon Jacobs just drops the ball before he gets hit. Eli's third pick in the fourth quarter, the receiver just stops the route, goes right to Kerry Williams. There was a face mask, an obvious face mask on that first interception that Eli threw. But the bottom line is these were plays the Eagles were not making, or just, you know, they weren't happening to them at the time. And now you come off a game where you have 4 turnovers and you go play a rookie quarterback like Mike Glennon. You got to figure that's going to be the key to them winning the game against Tampa.
All right, I want to get both of your guys' takes on this point coming up here. Quarterback situation fluid. Michael Vick day-to-day with a hamstring injury. Nick Foles obviously getting work in practice. Tim, from your estimation, where do you think the Eagles should go with the quarterback situation this Sunday?
You know, I think that they should roll with Foles. I think that at the end of the day, everybody recognizes that this is not a Super Bowl caliber team, and it's about building a foundation and trying to figure out what you have. And really, you need to figure out, most importantly, what you have at quarterback. And we've seen enough of Vic over his time, both in Philly and his entire career, to have a good understanding for what he is and what he isn't. But you don't know what Foles is yet, and you don't know what Matt Barkley is yet. And so, at least from my viewpoint, you know, give these guys opportunity in real live action so at the end of the year you can assess the entire picture and have a better understanding of what you need to do at the QB spot.
Jeff, do you agree or disagree with Tim?
Yeah, I mean, this is such a ticklish situation because, I felt the way Tim felt going into the year. I was surprised that they had brought back Michael Vick. I understood the whole idea of having an athletic, mobile quarterback, and that's what Chip Kelly had at Oregon. But, as Tim mentioned, you're building something here. And I didn't understand the idea of building around a 33-year-old quarterback when you had two that you didn't know enough about. So as we look at Nick against Tampa, I mean, I certainly think it's a chance for him to audition himself to really want to be that, you know, make Chip Kelly go to him and see if he's got more in the tank than just this one game.
All right, last up before we finish up, prediction for this Sunday, Eagles going against a winless team. Buccaneers have a rookie quarterback, tough defense. Tim, you get to start us off here.
Yeah, I think that the Eagles can pull this one off. I mean, I'm assuming that Foles is going to be the quarterback, and I don't necessarily think that the offense is going to be explosive, but I think that he can be efficient enough against a pretty good Tampa team to get the job done. So I like the chances of the Eagles having 2 in a row here.
Jeff, how about you?
It's so early in the week, Chris. You know, so I reserve the right to change my mind here. I'm leaning toward Tampa, and not because I'm a contrarian or negative. It's just it's hard to win games on the road. It's hard to win games against good defenses like Tampa. You're on your backup quarterback, for better or worse, even though they look good. So right now, at this moment, I think I'm leaning toward Tampa.
All right, great stuff, Tim and Jeff. Make sure you check out their work on Comcast Sportsnet and Birds 24/7. That's going to do it for Cover 2. I'm Chris McPherson. Thanks for joining us on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
The end of an era.
All the parties. The stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
Huge.
That's you, Jones.
That's me. Mm-hmm.
Your home for the most live sports, Xfinity.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Jack-O-Lantern Jackpot, with 10 top prizes of $50,000. It's kind of fun when it all comes together. Keep on scratching.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Imagine a pill with a camera inside that takes pictures of your digestive tract painlessly. At Jefferson, we're among the first in the area to use it, and we're working on the next generation now. But that's really just a snapshot of all the innovative things our team is doing, which may be why Jefferson has earned a national reputation in digestive disorders, not to mention the trust of more patients than just about any hospital in the tri-state area.
Discover the Jefferson difference. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
This month, the Eagles helping lead the way in the NFL, and we would love your support. Make sure you shop online, of course, for all of our apparel that features our commitment to fighting breast cancer. And when you are sending out a tweet, please include the hashtag EaglesTBC, Eagles tackling breast cancer. It's something the Eagles are very committed to and have been for many, many years. So we thank you for your support. We had Chip Kelly in studio here. Well, before that, Chip Kelly met the media. And, of course, Michael Vick, the topic of conversation, among other things. So let's go back to that press conference, which you can watch on demand on PhiladelphiaEagles.com in its entirety, or here's the Cliff Notes version here.
How much work was he able to get yesterday, and how much work will he get today?
He got individual work yesterday, threw the ball around a little bit, did not get any team or seven-on-seven reps, and then we'll just see how he feels as we get going in practice today. If the defensive coordinator is the same, we always go back to last year's game. So we watched the Bucs because the coordinator is the same. We watched the Giants game because Perry's the same. You know, we didn't do it when we played the Chiefs because Bob Sutton wasn't there. We won't do it when we play the Cowboys because Monty Kiffin is new. So it's just we're watching everything they do. You know, how similar are they from one year to the other year? So
Foles' performance in particular that game, what's
I'm not looking at that. I'm watching the Tampa Bay defense. So how did the Tampa Bay change from one year to the next? How similar are their calls? How much do they pressure in 2012 compared to 2013? Is that similar? Has the coverages changed? Has there been additions from this year compared to last year? So when we're watching it, we obviously, you know, I think Nick did a nice job. They won the game. You know, they threw a nice sprint out to Macklin to win the thing. Nick kept a lot of drives alive with his feet in that game, but really when we're watching those games, we're watching the defense really specifically, and that's what we're breaking down. I think they're a match team, so I think it's what people are doing against them, you know, and it seems like they want to be in the matchup. So, you know, if you're in 10 or 11 personnel, you're going to get more DBs on the field. If you're in 21 or 12 personnel, you're going to get more linebackers on the field.
Chip, are they a better defense than they were last year?
Yeah, I think statistically we'll tell you that. And then the additions of, you know, they got Revis, who they didn't have last year. So they didn't have Golston last year. So personnel's a little bit upgraded, I would say. But I thought they were good defense last year. You know, McCoy's a guy who jumps out of you on tape. Levante David jumps out of you on tape. And then you add Golston and you add Revis. So I believe they're better than they were last year.
Sean said that he doesn't think Revis can run with him.
That's not exactly what he said.
He
said a bunch of things. Sometimes it's good if you put the rest of it out there because he said it was a great matchup. He's got all the respect in the world for him. And then I think the question is he thinks he's faster than him. We're not having a track meet on Sunday. So it's not about who's faster than who. It's about who can perform better. And I think it'll be a really interesting matchup to watch.
The rest of the question was how much do you expect them to be matched up against each other?
I don't know. That's what we'll see when we get to the game. You know, I think one thing we do with our guys is we move them around. So as formations are a big thing that help you sometimes in that because our guys aren't always in the same spot. They're not always the left outside receiver. You know, they're not always in the slot. We can move them around. And I think that's the fun part of coaching is, you know, kind of What did you see on film, and what did you anticipate them doing to you? Then how does it express itself as the game goes along? But so far, so to date, everybody's matched. So it's not like there aren't people. We haven't played anybody so far that just says, hey, we're just going to play. You know, I think everybody's been. It's kind of a matchup league, and I think that's what everybody's trying to do, is put their players in positions and make plays.
Champions defense is very good against the run. What are some components of their defense?
I think their overall team speed's outstanding. You know, they can run at every level. They run well on the defensive line. You know, you're facing a D-line that's different than last week. Last week's defensive line, some real big bodies inside that are extremely tough to move. It's a different animal this week. You know, Gerald McCoy may be the best three technique in the league. He's explosive, he's fast, he's dynamic, he can run. You know, they've got athletic ability on the defensive line, and they're not as big as some of the teams we played, but they're faster than teams we played. They run well at the linebacker spot. You know, all those linebackers, Foster, David, they run. They can really, really run. So I think one of the things they do is you know, you may crease a gap because you're a little bit, they're not as big as some teams, but that gap's closed pretty quickly because of how well they run as a group. I didn't want to leave the staff at Oregon at that time, and I didn't want to leave the players at Oregon at that time.
Were you you went down there and interviewed and everything. I guess it was impressive, though, when you were down there and talking to the ownership. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I wasn't down there. They met me when I was on the road recruiting. I was impressed with the three Glazier brothers and impressed with Mark Dominic, but it was more a decision to stay at Oregon at the time than it was to go anywhere in the NFL. You can't defend everything, so, you know, you're going to pick your poison. You can say, hey, we're going to play press man, we're going to get up in everybody's face, I'm going to force them to throw the ball over the top. Well, when you have three balls thrown over your head for touchdowns, and you're going to go, well, why the heck are we pressing these people? So, you know, you can't defend it all, you know, and you have to make decisions on what at that point in time do you want to do. And if you're going to let the ball be thrown in front of you, they may move the ball incrementally down the field, but they're not getting the ball in the end zone. You know, I think as a whole, our defense has done a really good job of not getting the ball thrown over their head. You know, we gave up one in the Giants game, we had two guys there, and we gave up one in the Broncos game. But besides that, I think our guys are doing a good job. You know, and I know a lot of the explosive plays that happen here in the past is all of a sudden balls are going over people's heads, and that's a quick way to score. So, you know, those are conscious decisions by us as a coaching staff. We want to be deep to short in our zones. We want to keep the ball in front of us. We want to rally up and make tackles.
I'm giving up those, those types of short passes, et cetera. I mean, you saw the Dallas-Denver game. His defense.
I didn't see the Dallas-Denver
game. You heard about it. You hear about it?
They scored a lot of points. I mean, we were on a bus. I'm not being facetious, but we were driving back from New York.
We saw it in the press box.
We weren't in the press box.
getting back to
his defense, is defense dead? I mean, is it in this league? I mean, if you look at the numbers, it's.
That question's dead, though. I got practice.
Exit stage left for head coach Chip Kelly. What a way to go. 215-339-6709. And, of course, we will update for you after practice, which should end here in the next couple of minutes. DeMeco Ryans live with his press conference. LeSean McCoy live with his press conference. Everything live Monday through Thursday, PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And, of course, we're live on game days. We bring you the Eagles Television Network shows beginning at 11 a.m. And then at 12:30, the kickoff show takes you right up to game time, and then halftime show, halftime report with Adam Kaplan, Bo Wolf. I'm not sure if it's Bo or Chris this week. It's Bo. I know, it's Bo. And then the postgame show presented by Rico after the Eagles play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We anticipate a huge crowd of Eagles fans down in Florida this weekend, so make sure you say hi if you see the Spud Cam going. Let's talk to Kevin now in Florida. Kevin, you're going to be at the game on Sunday.
I wish I could, man. I went to the Jacksonville game down up there like two seasons ago, but I'm actually up in West Virginia right now with my girlfriend.
Gotcha. All right, man. Well, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, man. It's been a long time since I've talked to you, actually.
Yeah.
So what's going on with the D, man? Looks like we got so many playmakers. Is it going to be the best or the worst?
You know, it's a good question. Playmakers on defense, who are they? Kerry Williams has two interceptions. Brandon Boykin has two interceptions. I personally think that getting to the quarterback is the biggest challenge for this defense. Mm-hmm. Manufacturing a pass rush with the blitz is one thing, but you really, really want to get home with the four-man pass rush, and the Eagles have not done that on a consistent basis. So I look at the defense as a work in progress. There's no doubt about it. And hopefully, you know what, Kevin? What they did last week, we hope that's a good piece to build with and take it forward for the rest of the season. I think – got a chance to play good defense this week against Tampa Bay, and then it's a really good Dallas offense coming into Lincoln Financial Field.
Yeah, and I should be in town 2 weeks from now in Philadelphia.
Nice.
So I'm going to try to catch my first Eagles game, home game, I should say.
Okay.
Against the Cowboys, so that'll be awesome, man.
Well, we could use your support. Eagles need a win in the worst way at home. Hey, Kevin, give me a prediction for Sunday.
If Vic's starting, I'm going to say I'm going to go with 30-10 Eagles.
What about if Foles starts?
If Foles starts, I'm going to go 24-10.
So you think there's a six-point difference?
Yeah, we have red zone issues as it is. I think Vic helps that out a little bit more with his rushing ability. So
okay.
If something happens, you know, he'll be able to get up a little bit closer, I should say.
Kevin, we thank you. We'll see you in a couple weeks, man.
All right, man. Thank you.
All right, Kevin, calling us from Florida, but actually apparently in West Virginia, in case anybody's tracking him. Taking a look at practice out there on the field. Michael Vick in uniform today. That don't touch me red jersey. Splitting reps with Nick Foles. And, looking good as far as we can tell from the practice that we've seen and are allowed to see. Manny in Miami. Manny, where you been?
Hey, Dave. How you doing, buddy? Long time no talk, man.
Yes,
but
sir.
You know that even if I don't call it, man, I listen to every single show every single week, man. But,
I know that. You're a great fan.
Yes, sir. I am on my way to Tampa on Saturday.
Excellent.
Looking forward to seeing you and Chris. And, just like a couple of years ago down here against the Dolphins, looking forward to see what Nick Foles does, being the whole commander of the whole offense for the whole game. I know that in Tampa, even though they're winless, but they still have a good defense up front. They gave Drew Brees lots of problems.
Yeah.
I think the Eagles have a great chance of winning because of the whole momentum thing going on, and I feel like the defense is coming together. Even though, I still don't like those deep passes down the field, and you have guys in Mike Williams and in Vincent Jackson who just has, great leaping ability, and of course you have Mr. Doug Martin back there. But I feel like the Eagles can win this game, and hopefully they do, and we'll just move on from there. And,
give me a prediction for Sunday.
I see the Eagles win 27-21, Dave. I'll see you there.
You got it, Manny. Thank you very much for the phone call. We will see you, and I suspect thousands of other Eagles fans, in Tampa, Florida on Sunday. We take a break. When we return, we're going to get ready for the press conferences post-practice. LeSean McCoy and D'Amico Ryans coming your way here on Eagles Live.
And action.
That's a wrap!
What are you doing?
What? These Dunkin' wraps are delicious.
Can I get a wrap too?
Try Dunkin's new Angus Steak and Cheese Wrap with barbecue sauce and cheddar cheese. Now that's a wrap. America runs on Dunkin'.
NovaCare Rehabilitation is the exclusive provider of physical therapy to the Philadelphia Eagles. With 90 locations in the Delaware Valley, NovaCare maximizes the physical well-being in patients of all ages and abilities. Our team of medical professionals puts you back in your game after surgery or injury. The Eagles choose NovaCare, so can you. Call 1-800-770-NOVA. NovaCare. Recovery starts here.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
One more! Let's go, yo! Woo! Go.
No!
Ready, one more!
One more
time, come on!
One more! One more, let's get it, let's go!
Proven hydration to help replace what you sweat out.
Let's go.
Each one of us is our own boss. And no matter where you are in life, ask your financial professional how Lincoln Financial can help you take charge of your future.
I got you white chocolate pumpkin.
Oh, please don't call me pumpkin.
No, it's white chocolate and pumpkin.
Oh.
Pumpkin.
Ha-ha.
Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for delicious pumpkin coffees and lattes today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Hi, I'm Dave Spadaro, and today we're going to talk about some of the injuries associated with football players in the upper extremities, in the arms. I'm here with Cornelia Benson from NovaCare Rehabilitation. And Cornelia, it is certainly an issue. The arms and the hands, very vulnerable for football players.
Incredible. If you think about how many times during the course of a day, a practice, a game, they're landing on their outstretched arm, on their wrist, all their weight, and then add some body weight on top of them. All that force repeatedly, sometimes it's not a single injury, but the repetition of falling on the wrist and their ligaments that hold the wrist together are just getting torn up. And there's great ways to take care of that. A lot of guys you see are taping their wrists for stability and strength, and that works really well. And then strengthening the muscles around the wrist to make up for some of that weakness.
And are the fingers vulnerable as well?
Fingers are always in the way, aren't they? They get caught on jerseys, on helmets, they're landing. If we think that a quarterback's throw is 40, 45 miles an hour and a receiver's catching that, sometimes it lands in the fingers just a little bit wrong. So we get broken fingers, we get dislocated fingers, and again, taping or splinting and then putting it in the lineman or receiver's gloves is a great way to handle that.
Thank you. That's great.
You're welcome.
Cornelia Benson, thank
Pleased
you very
to
much.
Too.
That's our NovaCare Rehabilitation Tip of the Day.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
It's the end of an era.
All the parties, the stories.
I'm gonna miss your smell.
You were my first.
What?
I knew it.
It's true.
Oh man, I'm sorry I broke your leg.
I wrote a song. Sorry. Here we go.
Keep the good times going with the crisp, refreshing taste of Bud Light. Here we go.
Whoa. Check out this new couch.
Tampa, they've had some turnover, obviously, offensively. They got a new quarterback. They're still trying to phase Doug Martin back into it. What have you seen from them offensively? What do they do well?
Well, they run the ball well. Watching them on film, the offensive line does a great job of getting movement up front. And the running back is a really good player. He runs the ball hard, makes guys miss. So they have a really good running game, even though they added a new quarterback, kind of young in the game. But I think they're going to rely on the run game a lot more.
Do you notice a team, because it seems like they run out a lot of heavy personnel. Do teams base against them a lot? Have you noticed that?
Yeah, teams definitely. Teams are in base a lot because they have a heavy personnel. They add a tackle in, a tight end on some sets. So it's all run. And they're running, and you have to just man up and stop them.
Freeman and Glennon, obviously, different guys, different styles. How does things change for Tampa now that they're going with the rookie?
They've had an off week to prepare, so they could add a couple more wrinkles in their game. But it's I see the last game they didn't put too much on the quarterback. They gave some simple throws to make, but like again I say they rely on the run game mainly.
D'Amico, Billy Davis said the guys up front have really improved their technique. The two gap scheme, is that something you've noticed playing behind them from week one until now?
The guys definitely have gotten better up front. Overall, everybody on defense has gotten better, but we still have things to work on to get better, and we're not there yet. We're still trying to gain ground and get better.
You and Mike did a lot of eight-gap blitzing against the Giants, and then You know, no sacks, but pressure was there. Were you happy with how that went? I mean, did you feel like that was effective?
I think we got the pressure. Didn't get any sacks, but the pressure was good. When we get turnovers and we get intentional grounders, I think all those are credited to the pressure that we got.
Miko, there weren't that many happy locker rooms last year. The Tampa game was an exception. What do you remember after the game, the flight home, that whole day?
Yeah, and last year there was it was a long time coming for us to get a win, and we finally got it in Tampa, I think, on the last play or something like that. So it was definitely a happy locker room, happy plane ride home. But we're looking to go down there this year and get another win.
With going up against Doug Martin, what do you remember about just tackling him, the type of running back that he is?
He's a tough player. He's a really good football player. I respect his game. He's a tough player, runs hard. He plays the game how it's supposed to be played.
Is he a yards after contact? I mean, is it hard to bring him down first hit?
You have to definitely wrap him up and make sure we get a lot of guys at the ball. It's going to take more than one guy getting him down.
D'Amico, what kind of stuff can you do against a rookie quarterback to really make life miserable for him?
You got to get after him. You got to get pressure on him, get in his face, hit him a couple times. You have to make the game hard for him. We can't sit back and let him make his reads and make his throws. We have to make it hard on him.
You guys had these padded practices on Wednesdays. How do these compare to either last year or even your time in Houston, the kind of in-season padded practices, how physical and everything?
They're all the same. Wednesday is the day to get your hitting in, work on the run game with the pads. It's your physical day of the week, work on tackling, things like that.
How'd Mike look today? Vic.
Say that again?
How did Mike Vic look today?
Mike looked good to me.
You look good as yesterday.
Elaborate on that.
Yeah. That's Mike. I can't tell you how Mike is feeling.
On the defensive side of the ball, when an opposing team doesn't name their starter and there's two options there, are you put at a disadvantage or does it not usually make a difference?
It doesn't make a difference. As a defense, we have to go out and if we play our stuff correctly, we'll be fine. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. Just, have to be ready for whatever comes to you.
When you go against an unknown quarterback, how many series does it take to settle in to get a feel for his tendencies and things like that?
I don't know. I would think after, two or three series, you kind of know what they're going to do for the game, the kind of sets they're going to run, the plays they're trying to attack you with. You kind of know after, I say, three series.
D'Amico, the Bucs offensive coordinator came from the Giants. Conceptually, how similar is what you'll see this week to what you saw last week?
I think conceptually, they don't throw the ball downfield as much as the Giants do, and I think they're very more run conscious than the Giants were. All right. Thank you, guys.
I'm one of your favorites, Boyko. Don't act like that, man. Just want to say, I think Doug Martin's a heck of a running back.
He doesn't suck.
Nah, he's one of the better backs in the NFL, for sure.
So they're a top 10 team defensively in rush defense. What have you seen on them, whether it's their speed that makes them so effective against the run?
Yeah, for sure. I think up front, and this all together, man, they're a fast group. They play well together. They run to the ball. They tackle well. I think they're a complete defense. I think when you look at the ratings and the stats, it's believable because what you see on tape. So I think it'll be a good game. They match well. I think up front, they do tons of stunts, and try to stop the run game. So they do a lot of different things, but it's one of those matchups where if you kind of catch them in the right stunt, we block it up the right way, get a one-on-one opportunity with the safety. That's what we want. Hopefully we can get that done.
At least statistically, it was.
What are you thinking
there, Sean? Well, I don't want to talk about the past. It is what it is. But, what I said is what I meant.
Do you regret it?
No.
Did she say anything to you?
No, the only thing Coach said to me was just, stay focused on the next game. That's what really matters. We got Tampa. It's a big game for us to win. So that's what I'm really worried about.
At least statistically, the running game was different after Vic left and Foles came in last week. If Nick's the guy this week, how do you keep that from happening again?
Well, I think the Giants just made some plays up front. I think they really wanted to kind of take me out the game. I think that was kind of their game plan just from the beginning. In the second half, they just really made some plays. And it's kind of when Mike went out. So I don't really think it had anything to do really with Foles. I think it's definitely a different threat. Well, Mike's, you know, at quarterback from the ability to run the ball. I mean, that's obvious. You know, and Nick is, you know, still a good quarterback for sure. But I think it's a difference. As a defense, if I had to, you know, pick a guy to kind of stop in a running threat, I mean, obviously it would be Mike. So in that sense, I mean, yeah, you know, I think it changes differently. But we still run the same plays. I think we still could be successful running the ball, throwing the ball. I mean, as a defense, you gotta cover everything, no matter if it's deep balls or myself or whoever it is. You know, we're going to make plays. We're going to be aggressive with the play calls and keep everything the same.
But on those zone read plays, what's stopping a defense from just crashing down on you and turning Nick Foles into a runner every time you guys do that?
Well, I think not to really get too much into our offensive plays, but even a lot of the zone reads are not all just reads, and they're not all just the quarterback can keep it. You know, so, I mean, just how defense can draw up things to get to certain matchups where they want to have Nick try to get the ball and keep it out of my hands. As an offense, we have the same thing. We draw up things, and it's just, you know, a chess match. You know, they make a play or they make a stunt, we do the same thing. So we got our ways to kind of adjust into that.
I assume when you cut back a lot, it's instinctual, like you're running, you cut right back. But yeah, other times, like, because I saw in the film, it looked like if you have an early, when they stunt like the way they did,
yeah,
if you have an early cutback, you got quite a lane. Yeah. Can you program your mind to have an early?
Well, I mean, I've been already thinking that. Just, you know, you're kind of on the same page I'm on. I've already been thinking about that. Just seeing all them stunts. Because a lot of times when you're stunting like that, you're not really watching really where the ball's going. You have a lane. You have a stunt you have to abide by. So knowing that, there's going to be different, you know, cutback lanes, which that's kind of my game that's going to open up.
Do you actually, like, plan in advance what the moves you're going to make, or is everything instinct with you?
Just instinct. Just something I feel. You know, you play a team for a little bit, watch them on tape. You see some things you could probably get out of it, and then as the game goes on, you just give us a go. I mean, I just play. Something I can't even tell you. I just do it.
When you're on, I mean, you're on Nick making his first start. You're against a very good defense on the road. I mean, do you feel like it's got to start with the running game to get you guys back on track?
I mean, I don't look at Nick as like a rookie, so I don't think that really matters. I think the way he prepares himself every game, like he can start. And there's been times where he has to step in the game and play. You know, Mike went out, so, and he's played a lot last year, so he's not a rookie. I don't think the offense or the team has that effect at all. Man, like, you know, we got a first-year rookie starter going in. No, we don't feel like that about Nick. When Nick came in Sunday, I mean, we were confident. Just that when Mike stepped out, Nick came in, it was the same flow, same attitude. So, I mean, he played well. I mean, it showed. So he made some good throws, some good decisions. I mean, we expect that from Nick, though.
Do you think the Bucs are going to try to take you out and have Nick try to beat them?
I feel like, I mean, that's what almost every defense has done in the last four games. I mean, yeah. So, you know, we expect that. We're not sure how to do it, but in some way, that's what it's going to come down to. And Nick is going to stand up. He's going to make plays. Same like last week. Deshaun's going to step up and sell it. You know, so we're prepared.
NFL Japan. What's the fact?
Nice.
What's the big factor you're playing better this season? I mean, is this your ranking number one in rushing yards? Can you just describe, like, what makes you different from last year?
I was hurt last year.
Right.
I didn't really get to finish really the way I wanted to. And I think to have an offensive line, they're all healthy. I think Coach Kelly with the new offense gave me the ability and opportunity to get the ball a little bit more than I'm used to. You know, kind of starting with the run, I think that's probably the biggest difference.
Mm-hmm. The Giants made that adjustment Sunday, and suddenly you get people meeting you in the backfield. Did you know right away what they were doing, or was it hard to kind of figure? Did you have to watch on tape and see that?
I mean, it was by surprise. I mean, they just made some plays. This whole year, I haven't really been getting hit in the backfield at all. You know, even my negative runs, I haven't had that many. So I think it was just surprising because they were making so many plays so quick. And the whole year, I haven't got hit in the backfield. You know, but, I mean, I think as a defense, when you game plan to, you know, to kind of stop the run, I mean, you're going to make some plays. And some of the guys over there, they're good players, and they get paid too. So I don't think – I mean, every game, we're on gas for 180, 150, those type of games. I mean, we win the game. That's the biggest thing that really matters.
Shit.
See you.
All right, that is LeSean McCoy. And, yeah, he will be the focal point of the Tampa Bay defense on Sunday. Before we go, let's get one more phone call in. And Tavio joins us from right here in Philadelphia. Tavio, good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
Great, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Good.
Yeah, man, I'm just calling in to talk about Foles and Michael Vick, man.
Yes. Who do you want?
I'm sorry, man. I love Michael Vick, and I've always been a fan since back in Atlanta with the Michael Vick experience and everything, man. Hmm. But I want to move forward with Foles, man.
Well, I think they both give you great options, a bit of diversity for sure. And I think, look, if you were to make the move to Nick Foles right now, there's kind of no turning back. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I definitely agree with that, you know. But when you look at it, like, I don't think Michael Vick is the long-term answer, you know. Not saying that Foles is, but, you know, like, if we're building, you know, I don't want to build around a 33-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, but at the same time, Tavio, when you look at the NFC East, you would agree, right, that it's there for the taking.
It really is, you know, with the Cowboys being 2-3 as well. But, like, right now, looking at Vic, we aren't seeing anything that we haven't seen from him before. You know, granted, this year he isn't turning the ball over as much, but, like, after reviewing the All-22, you know, like, he's leaving, like, he makes the big plays down the field every now and then, but he's leaving a lot of plays on the field, you know, with his reads.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that happens with everyone, but I agree that the pass game with Michael, with Nick, it has to be better. The Eagles, I would really think that Tampa Bay is going to concentrate on LeSean McCoy. So whoever plays quarterback, got to get that passing game going. And I think the red zone passing game, that's where you're going to see the Eagles improve a lot when they get that thing clicking, because the numbers in the red zone throwing the football, just not good. And we'll see what Chip has to say. Chip has said over and over and over, when healthy, Michael Vick is his guy, so we'll see if he's healthy on Sunday. Tavio, give me a prediction.
Okay. Tampa Bay has a really good defense, you know, so I'm going to say 21 Eagles, 20 Tampa Bay. I think it's going to be a really close game.
And nail biter. Thank you so much, Tavio. Thanks for calling.
Okay, no problem.
And thanks for ending our show on a really good note. Great show today. Great day of broadcasting for you. We hope you enjoyed it. We're back tomorrow. Chip Kelly's press conference in the morning at 10:40. And then we return Eagles Live at noon as the Eagles draw a bit closer to Tampa Bay on Sunday. We thank you for joining us, everyone. Have yourselves a great Eagles Day.